Mr. Mayor, I think it's appropriate for our representatives from Waterworth to make this presentation.
Okay, thank you. You have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me here, and we really appreciate it. Gabe and I, we're both part of the client success team at Waterworth. And Carl is definitely in charge, sir. This is based on his and the team's projections for both for the electric side, and then Aaron has been helping us a lot with the wastewater side. We've been working with the community of Petersburg for the last 2 years, and we had also presented in last year's budget for in terms of the rate recommendations that the staff had recommended. Now, the idea for today and the goal is to walk through both the wastewater and electric models. Before I do that, just to keep it short and simple, quick context is that Waterworth is a forecasting platform that allows the city staff to really look into their rates so that they can have a more financial sustainable model out in the future without really cracking into affordability. And the way that we do that is this concept that we're practicing right now, continuous revenue management, where we look at a live financial forecast model, which I'll show you shortly. And second is also having these meetings on a continuous basis to make sure that everyone is well informed so that they can make those decisions. With that, I'm going to begin and share my screen. I'm assuming that everyone also has a packet in front of them, a presentation packet. Perfect. I'm going to go over the live model, but those in the packet, you have screenshots that are based on these models. I'm going to start from the wastewater side, and I'm going to start breaking down the baseline model. When I say baseline, that essentially means after we did the rate increases of last year, around 25% for 26, what does the future look like if I do no rate increases and based on the capital needs, operating needs, and the debt service needs that we have moving forward. I'm going to break this model down, this baseline in front of us, into three steps. So the first one is going to be our revenue requirements. I'm going to start out with our operating expenses that you can see over here. We have taken historical data all the way back to 2022, all the way up to 26, and then the budget on from 27 onwards, we have a 3% growth rate in there. And that's why you can see a larger increase that happened between 25 and 26 onwards. Next, I'm going to layer on top of this our current debt service. You can see that by layering on top, we can see another line of expenses up here. 2027, we're expecting to pay about $147,000 in current debt service that existing in our books. For some of those projects that we're going to be funding out in the future, like the Scarborough pump station, that's going to be needing to be funded by debt, especially. So we're going to see our debt, proposed debt for the upcoming years, rise up to $575,000. Now, this is a significant portion of our revenue requirements. You can see both of the debt services together are almost making up the same proportion to our operating expenses, about 60 to 70% of operating. So that means that we have a lot of expenses coming in that are necessary to make sure that we are delivering a level of service that the community deserves. Beyond that, you can see that we are surrounded by three peaks. One is in 25 that relates to our pump station four, the force main. It's about $3.4 million. Then we have Scarborough Bay, which is 5.1, including other smaller projects that make up about $7 million that is coming for FY27. We also have in 2030, which is the effluent disinfection for the wastewater treatment plant. So these three are some of our larger projects that make up these peaks. When I go to the revenues, you'll realize that we also have some good grant funding that came in for the $10 million, which is awesome, but we still have some other big projects to cover, which need our attention. So what I'm going to do next is go into part number two, is our revenues. We have our sale of service that refers to our user fees that we take on, the fixed and variable fees. Then we have other operating revenue that could include some of the interest side, non-operating, that's the interest payments. Again, they're very slivers on top. They're not really moving the needle as much. The bigger portion of these two is our borrowed funds, which is the external loans that we're taking out in the future and some reimbursements that we're getting back for some of those projects, and you can start to see them start layering across those mountains in the back that we have. And finally, we also have a grant funding aspect to this, which is the blue line. And you can see how we're getting a good solid grant funding for our $10 million project for the effluent disinfection. So together, when you take this picture combined, you start to notice two aspects. We have our revenues, which is those buildings at the foregrounds, and then you have our mountains at the back that represent our expenses. And while spectating that, we also notice that in 28 and 29, there are some gaps also in 2031, 2032, and so on. These red boxes that I'm highlighting for us is showcasing deficits in our budget, where we're going to be using up our reserves to help cover that gap. And that's going to take a toll on our cash position if we do not do anything with our rates beyond this point, where we're just going for 0% rate increases, or maybe like 3% might change it a little bit, but it's not going to change it too much, which is where we'll go into our recommendations. And if I go back and look at our cash position, you start to notice that the cash position over time, because of those deficits that happened in 28 and 29, especially with the pump station of Scarborough Bay in 27, we start to really use up our cash, which is starting at $772,000 and ends up below zero by the time we get to 2029. Even before that, you have an operating threshold, which is, forget 29, we have to also focus on 28, where by the time we get to 28, we're sitting at $633,000, which is in line with the operating threshold that represents about 3 months of, or sorry, 4 months of our operating expenses. Now, this is an important threshold that we set for ourselves. I'm sure from our last presentation, remember that this is to make sure that we have a small buffer in place to make sure that we can cover any unexpected operating expenses moving forward. So us being below this, it's a scary situation. We want to always stay above it as much as we can. Awesome. So to bring it all together, when we see this whole picture, we realize that, okay, our cash position is definitely going down if we do nothing, let's say in 27 beyond. What can we do to really rectify this position and make sure we stay above the threshold as much as we can? This is where Carl, Aaron, Jody, and the rest of the team have really focused hard on making sure that we look at these models, because in our last recommendation that we had in for the FY26 last year, it was looking like 25%, which we did do. It was also looking at 60% because there was a large increase, especially with the pump station. And we decided to spread out those air increases so that we don't affect our citizens too much with a huge rate hike. With that in place, we had another model where we're able to really flatten out that cash position and ensure that it stays above the operating threshold at all times at a respectable value of $900,000. So we can also tackle any unexpected capital expenses if it does come about. The way that we are tackling this is via the rate increases, and you can see how those the City Skyline S picture is getting really covered up. And it pertains to, and I can pull up our packet for now, it right here. It pertains to doing larger rate increases about, like, if you talk with percentages, they can go up to like 20, but it's very similar to what we did last time. And this is what the recommendation will look like from the current rates, the proposed rates, when it comes to our final impact, where if you see a 4,000 gallon user, they see a $12 increase in their bill. And this is the breakdown that I have in front of us. I'm going to pause you for a second in case you have any questions, and we can tackle them before we head out and look at our electric fund.
Any questions from the assembly? Member Mugin?
Yes. Thank you for the report here. So just to be clear, that we raised the rates 25% in 26, and between 2027 and 2031, we're going to be looking at combined rate increases of 53.5% increase over those 5 years.
Yes, there. If you combine them all together, yes, that is the a correct assessment, and we hope to really reduce it down to about 4.5%, like we have it. And I'll show you later on the electric side. It's to prevent any rate hikes in the future.
Yep. Thank you.
Other questions, Member Schwartz?
Trying to catch up here, but we have all the increases now, and I'm not quite getting it.
Essentially, that's what it is. That's what they're
have
saying.
Have them now.
Oh. If I can use Aaron as well, it's not necessary that we need to have all the increases in there. Part of what Waterworth does is we'll try to look beyond, let's say, next year's budget and say that if we have the 20%, 25% increase, or rather the $12 increase in a regular bill, we're hoping that we could start reducing these hikes in the future if the current plan stays. I mean, unless we add a lot more projects that can change our view, that's the continuous piece where we want to make sure we get updated information. So it's a choice, really, that if you want to, let's say, lock in some rates for a couple of years or look at these rates every year. And Aaron, please, you can help me out here as well if you want to shine some light on that.
Go ahead, member.
Well, the utility rates that we increased last year was a little bit shocking to people, and heard quite a bit about it. I'm getting better at listening, but now we have another increase that I'm sure we're going to hear about. And I'm trying to figure out the reality of this whole thing, but you know, I'm glad you're sounding chipper and happy about it. I know it's just your job, but it's hard to listen to. Thank you.
I have a question.
Other question, Member Valentine?
Yeah, thank you. Good presentation. These are just for water, what we're talking about currently. So everybody in the public.
Wastewater.
So, I mean, these are just big jumps because we have big projects coming, right? And it could do this again and again and again, so long as Petersburg is investing into our future, right? So we have Scow Bay, and we're hoping that that will also generate revenue to help probably offset this. But right now, we're putting in all the taxpayers because this is just proposal, not saying that we're doing anything. Could we do the same thing where you have here a projected model of 2027, 20%, 28, 15, 29, 7, 37, and then 4.5 moving on? If you took that same 50-some percent that Member Mucci said and changed that up and spread that out so these aren't big hikes right off the front, I mean, it still will ultimately end up in the same position, right? If I took that 50-some percent and spread that out instead of it looking 20, 15, 7, and 7, it could be 10, 10, 10. Yeah, I mean, no one likes rate increases, but the reality is the reality. So I just want to know, will we be in the same position being above that threshold if we do it that way? Thank you.
And that is something that we can play with scenarios with, and that's where Waterworth comes in. I just want to address it. It's when it comes to like these rates, initially there was even a proposal last year that we were like, let's rip the Band-Aid off and do 60. And when I say 60, I don't mean that light. It is quite expensive. And I do realize that if it comes to anyone else's bill, it's looking, especially when on fixed income, that can be quite shocking, right? When it comes to financial planning, it's never an easy thing to do rate increases. The goal of what we try to do here is, as you have mentioned, is try to level it out as much as possible where you can have those 10%. Now, if you do go ahead with, let's say, a 10% scenario, this means that this 10% will extend for a longer time, right? It won't just stop at, let's say, 4.5 in 2010. If you do 10s across the board, this it may last until, let's say, 2033, something that we can run separately as well and see what the impact will be and how long will certain rate increases last for.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. This is just one of those things where I think sticker shock is worse than the longevity, because for the, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, just 10 would last longer. You know, you hit it now and then it drops later, but no matter what, if you still look at that, all those percentages still mean up, right? And it'd be great to get to a point where we don't have to. And also, that said, the cash position. So the threshold is just making sure we have the 4 months expenses, and then you have a cash position of us at the 900, if I remember right, 900 level. What if our cash position was like 600 or 500, right? Why does it have to be so high, I guess is my question.
Mm-hmm. And that's an excellent point. So that's something that can also be reduced. It's just that one thing that Aaron and I and had discussed, and as long as with Carl as well, is the fact that if you look at this particular presentation, I would hate the fact that if I came to everyone, let's say year over year, that we're going with this particular plan, if approved, and we didn't try to address the possibility that there might be some spikes here. See what I mean? Like the future beyond 2031 may have some spikes, which may cause us to use some of our reserves. So in anticipation of that, it's good to keep a slightly higher boundary. The second point, which I should have mentioned earlier, is also on unexpected capital expenses, because the operating threshold that I showed you was for any unexpected operating expenses, but you want to stay a level above that, which will allow you to also tackle any unexpected capital expenses that may come about in terms of debt service. But if the staff and the community feels like, you know what, we're $500,000 to $600,000, then I'm sure we can also tailor the rate structure to make sure that we can meet those requirements.
Okay, thank you. I think electric is going to be good.
I believe the manager has a question or a comment.
Really for Waterworth or Aaron or Carl. When we talk about rate increases, the percentages are more accurate, but the assembly would probably mean more to them. What does the average bill do? And I think you kind of mentioned that a couple times. I think that bears repeating, is what the average bill would go with these recommended percentage increases. Because the percentages sound really, really bad, and not that any rate increase is good, but the actual value of what's going up isn't anywhere near as bad as what's running through all of our heads right now. So anyway, just that would be helpful to the assembly, I believe.
100%. And that's why the slide that I am showing right now is looking at our changes in the bill. And you can see over there that for the average user, 4,000 gallons, we're looking at the current bill that currently stands at $62.54. And it will be going up if you do, let's say, a rate increase with the proposed rate changes at $75, which will be $12.51.
Assembly hear that? I mean, so
yeah, yeah.
But we're talking about that big increase is $12.51 per average user.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, I mean, I just want to make sure the assembly hears that.
Noted. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. I have a question, might be for Aaron and or Carl on that. The back to the graphs of the three major projects, we're going to have to go out. We'll have to bond for those three projects. So what your rate increase also shows what we need to pay those bonds.
I can take that one unless Aaron or Carl want to. It does include, and those expenses are a real burden, because if you do take out a loan for them, you end up with the debt service that I'd shown in the model, where you have the current debt service that is the darker blue, and the lighter blue is a proposed debt service of about $575,000, almost $600,000 to $700,000. And to address that additional debt that we're undertaking, we need to make sure that our rates are also able to cover those in the future.
And as you show, that shows, I can't read the numbers on there, but that debt service then goes out for 20 years. I can't remember the time period.
It goes up to about, let's say, 12 years, roughly. 12, okay. 13 to 2037.
Okay,
and the actual debt itself might be beyond that, but in the model, I've stopped it at 2037.
Other questions from the assembly?
Not on wastewater.
Okay. I don't see any here. If you would like to move on to talk about the utility side of that, would be great.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And I will move on to the electric side. For electric, I don't think we need to again break down the model, but we did have, let's say, a smaller rate increase. It's going to be a very simple, simpler model. We definitely have some big expansion projects that are currently in. And the model that I'm showing right now, again, is with those three components. So just to speed this process up, we have our revenue requirements that consist of our operating expenses, our services, we have our current debt service, proposed debt service, capital improvements, capital expansion. These are our revenue requirements altogether. Again, we have put a placeholder of smaller capital expenses out in the future, but not too many. And the idea is that we can start adding them once we get more intel and make sure that we have those larger projects in there. The next aspect, which is step number two, is looking at our revenue. So that's sale of service. You can see that we're doing really well up until 28. But you can start to see there's a big shortfall, especially in the debt service. Even if I were to remove capital and capital expansion, we're falling short of our debt service payments. So definitely something needs to be done with our rates. And then you have other operating revenue, developer contributions, again, very minimal. And then you have grants and borrowed funds that are helping us fund those big projects. The recommendation here is to go with about a very small rate increase, but 4% or just like $4 to $5 that are coming in for our different accounts. And you can see that by adding a 4% rate increase, we're able to really sustain our cash positions. If I just highlight the cash before in the status quo, we are seeing ourselves, if we don't do anything beyond a certain point, by 2032, we're running out of cash. While if you just maintain small incremental rate increases, we're easily above our operating threshold. We're staying at around the 3.4 and 3.5 marker, almost reaching to $4-5 million in the out years. And the reason why we see an increase in the cash position in the out years is because if we just keep steady rate increases, we're able to really reach our certain targets and also have a little bit of slack for any capital projects that may happen out in the future. I'm going to showcase the rates now. And these were the different rate changes. And in terms of the difference of the bill, it would be about $6 for the average user.
Questions from the assembly? Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you. If we increase our sales of electricity by $1 million or $2 million a year, does that bring this rate increase down at all?
And are you saying because based on consumption? Like, yep. If consumption were to increase in kilowatt hours, then how would it affect our rates?
Yes.
Yes, if that was the case, and maybe Carl, you can help me here, is that if our consumption increases, then you would end up seeing your rate increases drop. However, I would also ask Carl, and we would have it in our review sessions, to make sure that if a consumption is increasing, does it mean you have to reinvest into the community even more to make sure that we can maintain that increase in consumption? So that would affect how much what expenses would look like, essentially.
Through the mayor, Armand, can you show the? Do you have it handy showing where we had the where we looked at $1 million more in revenue and $2 million more in revenue? Start with the two where we show an increase that we plan this year because we don't know what's going to happen. But if we got that, we'd be at 0.0 and what, like 1.5% increase.
I think, was it with to do with the data center revenue?
Yeah, yes. I believe that was just Assemblyman Mucci's question.
Yes, and that would mean that our rates, we even challenged it even lower to make it 2.5, or it could even drop further down, because you can see that the cash position looks a bit different with our revenues increasing. So you may have to do zeros and or 1 or 2%. So yes, that would impact, and we have mapped a scenario for it.
Thank you.
Does anybody? Oh, sorry. Does anybody remember from last year what we raised it for? From I remember this presentation. I don't remember all the numbers. I can't remember what we moved from 26 to this proposed 27. Or so I guess you guys know what I'm asking.
Yeah, Carl, would you?
For the mayor. So last year's increase was 4% in the electric utility.
Okay, 4%.
Yes.
Okay, and that had clearly nothing to do with data. Okay, sounds good.
Included a major revamp of how our rate structure is applied. We had a declining block rate structure. We went to a single rate for each customer class.
Right.
So there was a big change there, just in the fact that it was a different way that the rates were applied.
And if I remember right, it was a little bit more to the residential, but in the long term, it evened out with kind of... Can you help me finish that?
It was a big change, and it really depended on how much any customer's usage was, how it affected their increase. It was a very difficult concept at the time, but this year, because we have single energy rates for every customer class, it's much simplified. So the 4% that we're seeing this year is very easy to calculate and see the impacts of.
So through the mayor, we did it that way to see how it panned out instead of asking for a multi-year rate increase. The same thing this year. We're looking at 1 year because there is potential for new revenue, not only the data center, the mill out on Falls Creek Road, and some housing developments. So instead of locking in higher rates than we need, we're going to look at it year by year for a couple of years.
And then... sorry if I'm I want to make sure I understand this fully. These 4% on top of what SEPA is going to propose to us, right? So if SEPA were to bring it up, that's 4% on top of whatever SEPA is selling to us, right?
That's technically correct, yeah. Although SEPA is not planning on any rate increases in this year.
This year. But for the future, could. Like, I'm going to throw random numbers out there, but from, like, you know, giving it to us at 15 cents, and then we put 4% on top of that, and then maybe 1 year they come back at 20 or 20 cents per kilowatt, and then we have to put 4% on top of that, right? So it still does have to do with SEPA with this, right?
Through the mayor, yes and no. We know what the rates are going to be, and then we figured out our budget and what we expect to sell and what we have to pay for that power. So it's not necessarily if they go up 2%, we're going up 2%.
Right.
There, if we have more revenue, we may be less than the 2%. Or depending on our expenses and any debt we take on, it could be slightly above that.
Okay.
It's not a tit for tat. Sorry.
And through the mayor, I'll just point out that the same scenario that helps the scenario of a larger revenue stream for PMPL helps to stabilize rates and reduce future increases. The same is also true for SEPA. The more power that SEPA sells to member communities, their wholesale rate also stabilizes, and they can push that wholesale rate without any increases for longer.
Okay, so my last little statement here is that, and I'm sure we'll talk more about data centers later on today, but this 2 megawatt, okay. This 2 megawatt was used at a cannery. It was already previously used at a cannery. So if you replaced data center, the word, and put it a cannery, this scenario still stands true. We are selling 2 extra megawatt to a consumer of 2 extra, assuming we have the amount of energy to do so, right? Okay.
We do have that energy, and yes, you're correct.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I can see a lot of heads nodding here. With that, is there any other parts of both rate studies that either Carl or Aaron would like to talk to?
Mayor, just one other thing. It did look like Power and Light was getting really fat at the end of that, but as they pointed out, that's not considering any capital projects past 2032, which
I mean, is unlikely.
We're gonna, yeah, it's not. We're gonna have to put money into
something.
To another generator.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Okay. I don't. There are no other comments on this.
Well, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. You know, there was a little bit of discussion here about maybe adjusting that rate. Is that something that the assembly wanted to have brought back to us? Or, I mean, we had a little bit of discussion about it. Or are we just going to let it, are you thinking about moving forward with it? Or do we want to talk about it at another time? But
yeah, this is just a proposal.
I know that. But yeah, I mean, did we want the staff to bring us back some additional information on what a rate increase for the wastewater would be if it was spread out over a five-year period instead of a 20%? I mean, would we like to, and a less cash flow or cash reserve? I mean, do we want that in the future? It's up to, I didn't want it to fall on deaf ears here about whether or not we wanted to look at that.
Member Valentine?
Yes, good question. I guess to you guys, but in the back there, will we be seeing this again? This is just a proposal that Waterwork, and they put a lot of effort into this. Will we be seeing this again to when we vote? And if so, can we have those different scenarios?
The answer to both questions is yes.
Thank you.
You know, we're not going to be talking about any rate changes for wastewater. Okay. We have Waterworth presentation, and I will be coming to you with ordinance for updated rates. You know, when to institute a rate change and how much is something that the borough and Waterworth has spent a lot of time talking about. You know, the benefits of spreading it out versus you know, a bigger rate increase up front. Arian mentioned last year when we had discussed internally about a 60% and how that would be perceived by the ratepayers. But just like anything, you know, whether it's maintenance on your car or investing in your retirement, a little bit more now pays off in the long term versus putting it off when it's going to cost you more money.
Thank you.
Is it? If I may, through the mayor. So just a reminder on the wastewater stuff. You know, we have an EPA order to fix the disinfectant system, and we honestly don't know what that's going to cost yet, which is a big factor in the work that our utility directors are doing, is because we don't know. I mean, we got an $8 million earmark from Senator Murkowski's office that'll allow us, when we know we have the money, will allow us to turn the engineers loose on scoping out that project. And whether it comes in at $4 million or it comes in at $12 million, we won't, that's going to be a big number that impacts these rates. But the meantime is we can't sit on our hands and do nothing while we're waiting, you know, which could be up to a year before we have those numbers. So that's a challenge. I mean, that's a challenge Aaron's got, is we're guessing at some of this, because of the cost of those projects are big. I mean, really, particularly that one is a really large number. So,
yeah. Member Nugent?
Yeah, thank you. So does that mean that once we find out what that project is going to cost, that those rate increases that we projected might have to be higher?
Could be, or lower.
I mean, well, I'd be surprised if any of our rates go down, but I'm just trying to figure out if we're using it. You don't understand what I'm saying. If we have a big project coming online and it could be anywhere from $8 to $14 million, would these rate increases be adjusted?
Answer is yes. But, you know, again, that's why we have Waterworth to run through these numbers, and rather than just off the top of my head. This wastewater project could be absolutely huge, or it could be a lot less than we anticipate. Aaron's already working with the engineers where we can, you know, and we got a big grant. There's nothing to say we won't get another grant. This is a project, those disinfectant systems that we've talked about, it's not just happening in Petersburg, it's happening in Wrangell and Ketchikan and other cities up north of us. So there's a lot of pressure on the delegation to provide funds and helpful, and we haven't given up on that. We got $8 million right off the bat, and that's going to allow us, when we know we have the money, to scope the project out, and then we're going to have a better idea what it's going to cost. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is a lot of inflation on stuff, so that's the good, the downside. But once we know those numbers, once we have an engineer's, you know, this is about what it's going to cost, then we actually can go back to the delegation and say, well, you know, the $8 million you gave us, that's $5 million too short, or no, that's great, we're wonderful. But we don't know that now, and we won't know it for probably a year or better.
Member Valentine?
The last time I'll talk on this. Question. I'm looking at the current rates, proposed rates sheet here. If for this new, you know, 2 megawatt that would come on, would they be charged at the large commercial demand charge rate? Is that the one I'm looking at, the 3 point whatever?
That is correct.
Okay.
They're a large commercial customer, so those rates will apply to them.
Does the assembly wish to have different rates looked at for the next meeting?
Is this a votable thing?
No, I'm just asking, does the assembly want the staff to come back with a different scenario of increases for the next assembly meeting?
Yes.
And then if you do, what are you asking staff to look at?
Instead of bulk front, what it looks like spread, and then what you guys said, the scenario, what happens if we bring on another customer, 2 megawatt thing, and you can correct me.
What are we talking about, electrical or wastewater?
Yeah, electrical or wastewater. You're talking electrical.
Wastewater over time is the one that I would like to see. I will come back.
So let me pin it down a little bit more over time. So what would you like, what difference would you like to see, you know, in terms of rate
structure? Less upfront, hike rate, 20%. We saw on this thing said 20% and then jump 15, da-da-da-da-da. Just a different scenarios of what it would look like, maybe 8, 8, 8, 8, 10, 10, 10, 10, whatever RN thinks. And, you know, these guys are the experts with the models, so. Just to see what that would look like. Anyways, yes.
Okay.
For wastewater specifically.
For wastewater, okay.
I'm pulling back on the electric.
Okay. Then on electric, you just want to see what that would mean.
If anybody else has anything.
Okay. Let me finish. Does that make sense, and is that doable? I have to ask.
Arian has his hand up, but yes, that's absolutely doable.
Exactly. And I think sir, I think I can solve your question rather quickly, and that's the beauty of why Waterworth exists. But I can't give you the exact dollar amount, but if I tried, let's say, your 10% strategy for wastewater, and I did for let's say 5 years, 10% and then 4.5, you can see how the cash position dips down and stays below the operating threshold for a prolonged period of time.
See, this is good.
If I were to let's say extend your question, and if I went 10% across the board for a long period of time, you will see a resurgence, but that means you're going to be 10% for 10 years.
Okay.
So see, there. I hope that solved at least the initial question of yours, sir.
Great.
Done.
Done. Okay. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you. And then that covers your question that you had regarding the cash reserves. So
yes, it does.
It would dip the cash reserves. And, yeah, I'd like to see that included in. That'd be great. Thank you.
So that answers the question. We don't have no other work for staff. Good. Thank you. All right.
Sorry.
Any other comments or questions on the rate studies?
Okay.
No. Seeing none, I'll move on then.
Thanks so much, by the way, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you.
You.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yes, thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting us. I really appreciate it.
Okay.